Blog Talk Radio.
Now, all you black folks, I suggest you get away from all these white folks. Not you, Stephen. You right where you belong. Cora, before you go, will you tell Miss Laura goodbye?
Do what now?
I said tell Miss Laura goodbye.
Bye, Miss Laura.
Y'all two run along then.
Folks, we're live and we're late. My apologies. Again, my apologies. Welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The captain will be back momentarily. We had problems with our system. Everything went just kablooey. So bear with us for just a few more moments. Again, my apologies. Afternoon and Captain Kirk are here. It is Wednesday's Midweek and Review show. These things happen just right before we went on air. Our systems just blew out completely. So it is what it is. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a quick groove, and then I'm going to get the captain. The captain is actually out in the field, so I'm going to get him in a few moments. But it is disappointing, unfortunately. It is disappointing. These things happen even on terrestrial radio. Things go down. Things do go down. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a quick groove, and we'll be back in a few moments. Just bear with us, folks. As I said once again, accept our apologies. Captain, we're just going to go right into it because we're already 10 minutes into the show, 12 minutes into the show. So we got to be professionals and we got to do the damn thing. What's up, sir, by the way?
I was on Planet Menstrual with a slim waist, big booty, cutie, you know. Not too educated, though, but it was all right. It's a good look. before you bring me in.
I was about to say that doesn't sound quite like a minstrel move, except when you said the cognition might not have been a point, sir.
Yeah, the cognition wasn't really quite there, but you know, it's all right. It's all right. I'm back.
All right, I'm going to put you on mute for just one moment, Captain. Hold on, I got some background noise on you. All right, folks, once again, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. This is the Midweek in Review edition of the program, January 16, 2013. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Listen, how many times can I apologize? But we're going to have to get into this thing. I wanted to talk about Ann Coulter, actually. When is it that Ann Coulter... When does she ever get off of her shtick? I guess until it starts becoming lucrative. The bottom line is that she gets paid a lot of money to be a provocateur. So this time out, for this particular week, I'm sure in another month, another 2 months, she'll say something else that's quote-unquote out of pocket, and she will still be able to get attention. It's all about attention. Anyway, she essentially said, while being interviewed by Sean Hannity on his show on Fox, I believe it was a few days ago, she said, why are we making a big deal? And I'm paraphrasing here, folks. Why are we making a big deal about gun control? Why are we making a big deal about this? Because if you look at it racially, white gun violence is on par with gun violence in Belgium. That's what she said. White gun violence in the U.S., I should say, is comparative to white gun violence in Belgium. Anyone who's in the know knows that Belgium has a pretty low crime rate, violent crime rate. So, and then she goes on and says the caveat, of course, is, well, it's about the demographics. It's about the demographics. So you know what she meant by that. So I'm going to play this clip. Then the captain and myself, we will unpack. This is Ann Coulter doing what she does best or worst, however you take it. Hold on, folks.
Joining me now with her own opinions on these subprime nominees, author and columnist. How are you? Ann Coulter.
Good to see you. There you go.
We're in the middle of a flu epidemic.
Yeah.
No handshaking. Well, you know, as you know, I just got back from England, which they have not bought into this whole diversity enthusiasm, which raises the important point that on the gun crimes, we keep hearing how low they are in Europe, and oh, they're so low and they have no guns. If you compare white populations, we have the same murder rate as Belgium. So perhaps it's not a gun problem. It is a demographic problem, which liberals are the ones are pushing. Let's get more Colin Ferguson's and more whoever the guy was who shot up Fort Hood. Why are they coming in to begin with?
All right, folks. For those who are unfamiliar with Colin Ferguson, I'll mention that after I allow the great captain his due. So I'll bring back the captain. Again, the captain is out in the field, so that's why you might be getting some background noise. But here we go again, Ann Coulter doing what she does worst. Captain, what are your thoughts?
Well, the reality of this is that all of America definitely has a gun problem. America was founded on the gun. Some people would say gun and whiskey. That's number one. And the modus operandi here in America is simply this. Whatever happens in the black community, or some would say the lower tier communities, eventually spills over into the middle class whites, and at times the stratosphere, the powers that be, they also get affected by this. If we can recall, remember the AIDS epidemic when it first took place, they said, well, it's only the gays and IV drug users. Then a little while later, everyone else along these lines were getting affected by it. So things in America, the way they happen, they always start from the bottom, and then they begin to creep up to the top. Guns, people with guns been going crazy in what we call here at Afro-Nerd Radio, featuring Captain Kirk, the lower tier communities for the longest. The reason why all of a sudden this is a big deal is because the white community, people who are not supposed to get affected, got shot up and murdered. Now they start to realize there is a problem. America's had a problem for the longest. Just look at Chicago, what's been happening for the longest. Look at L.A. Look at certain parts of New York. And we could go on and on and on and on and on and on. And this is the reality. This is the modus operandi of America. So America within itself has a gun problem. It has been founded on the gun. So I feel that in actuality, Miss Ann Coulter is off base with this one here. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, you know, this is the issue, folks. Again, welcome to Afro-Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We're talking about Ann Coulter's statements. See, she's very shrewd as to putting out certain things out there, shrewd in the sense of there's a kernel of truth with what she says, and then she goes off the rails. And this is why she cannot really be respected. She's not an intellect, first of all. So you could have someone like a Thomas Sowell on the conservative side. You could have someone that we've interviewed early on in our show, Dr. John McWhorter. You could have folks like that who have multiple degrees. I believe she has an Ivy League education, but that does not necessarily make her an intellect. People who are actually teachers and have fellowships, Shelby Steele, Dr. Steele, have folks like that. I'm mentioning conservatives. Like, this is not to even berate those who are on the left that could kick it a certain way also. Matter of fact, I've been putting out feelers to have Tim Wise come through, who can spout out statistics as well. There's quite a few learned people out there of various political extremes that can kick this harder than this provocateur. She's trying to sell a book. She has a book now, I believe it's called Mugged, as Mugged, Liberal, so forth and such. It's always liberal such and such. It's so much of a brand. And I can't hate on her for her marketing prowess. I'll put it that way. Heck, we have our own marketing plan, the captain and I. But at least we believe in facts. We can take those who may disagree with us. We just want it to be respectful and have cogent arguments. That's the problem. We're not seeing cogent arguments. We're seeing hyperbole. So she's into extremism. She's not into facts, and she's a provocateur, and she's no intellect. And yet she is routinely on these talk shows spouting her crap without any real verification. Now, the FBI puts out annual crime statistics. And are we going to talk about violent crime? Are we going to talk about hate crime? Are we going to talk about property crime or abuse toward children? So all this, when you put it in a mixed bag with blacks and browns collectively comprising about a quarter of the population, what about everyone else? What about everyone else? Now, the reality is there is a problem. There is a problem in lower tier communities. But when you look at this as a collective, the problems are in a few socially depressed, disadvantaged communities. And the block is hot in those few disadvantaged communities in the country, in the United States. Pockets of madness. However, we do have, I believe as of 2006, we do have 7 million folks incarcerated, whereas China, who has a billion plus folk, I think with 2 billion people in China, China has about 1.2 million people incarcerated. So how is it that we have far less folk in the United States, 7 million folks incarcerated, and China has a little over a million? Be that as it may. Another part of her argument that's disturbing, ladies and gentlemen, is that she wants to discount these 20 babies that share her hue in Connecticut that were wiped off the planet. We are seeing a problem with, I don't want to say upper tier whites, but let's say we are seeing a problem with white implosions. The media are looking at this thing now. These kids must be avenged. Something we are still talking about what happened in Sandy Hook a month later. We're still talking about it. The president has been put in a corner about this thing. She's trying to, which is amazing, she's trying to lessen the severity of this by switching it back to the blacks and browns. And if she were to be fair, and if she were to be fair, which she's not going to be, ladies and gentlemen, and if you had a sharp media, Sean Hannity does not qualify as the media in my estimation, and I'm saying that as a conservative, she would be called to task for what she says. And you could easily say, wait a minute. What about the demographics? So what about the demographics? Even if we went by what you say, and I don't really agree with everything she says. If we went by what she said, these within that demographic are still Americans. Why is it that the black American, let me emphasize that, the black American or the Hispanic American, why are they entitled to less protection under the law than the Caucasian American, if you're going to go that way, Ms. Coulter? It's still an American problem. It's an American problem. And the Catherine and I, we rail against lower-tier BS because the shrapnel could easily affect our grandmothers, our mothers, our fathers, our children, the babies. That's going on internally. It's an internal discussion. But externally, it is an American problem that has to be dealt with. But if she wants to make it, well, it's just the black and brown, when she used the term demographics. If she's going to go there with that, then wait a minute. Why are you trying to separate when, as a conservative, you should be trying to talk more about fair shots, economic opportunities, and the fact that we are all American? They're very much against conservatives, are very much against multiculturalism and diversity. So if you're against diversity and multiculturalism, and I want the captain to come in, and then we're going to move to a musical break. If you're against diversity because you believe we're all Americans, where's the confusion when you start throwing up the demographics when people are trying to take away your guns allegedly? Captain, what are your thoughts? Am I breaking it down or what?
Well, I think you hit it again, once again, Sir Alpha Nerd, right on the nail. You know, we're all Americans here.
Allegedly.
Oh, the reality, you know, we're all supposed to be Americans here. So this is an American problem. This is an American problem. It's not a demographic problem. It's not a demographic problem. I have to repeat, iterate once again. It's not just a demographic problem. We're all Americans here.
Allegedly.
All right? The right to bear arms. Whether that's your gun is legitimately licensed for some people, that's what it's supposed to be, or you just run in some place and you do the unthinkable, even though you're not supposed to be doing that. But it's still the right to bear arms, you know, even if you're an insane individual. So obviously this is an American problem. And I just don't agree with her. I just don't agree with her statements.
Well, the thing that gets me, Captain, is that she's never confronted. You know, let's confront her on the facts.
This is true.
But, maybe it's a type of act. Well, it is an act. You know, you're not going to interrupt Rihanna in the middle of a song. So maybe that's what we're looking at here. That's the only explanation I can have for this. And you and I, we go against the lower tier, left or right, because their nonsense, the criminality, the wildness, it is affecting black folk, and we have to deal with that. But this whole thing of, right, you know, it's a very easy to look at white implosions. We're looking at white implosions now. And instead of dealing, well, heck, they're doing what blacks are accused of doing. They're doing what blacks are accused of doing. We're not dealing with our issues, allegedly. Now that we're seeing, on the flip side, white implosions now, we're seeing every couple of weeks, folks, every couple of weeks now, we're seeing these major league in public areas, public access implosions with semi-automatic weaponry. There appears to be a problem, and what she does is deflect and say, oh, no, it's not the white folks. Oh, no, it's demographics. As if those within the demographics aren't as American as she is. No one is confronting her. All right, folks, listen, again, we're starting off a little bit late, so it's unfortunate. By the way, we're going to have a Saturday show, Saturday at 7 o'clock, because Sunday we're not going to compete with football, the playoffs. We're not going to do that to you, but we still want to give you a message. So, again, remember, Afro Nerd will be on this upcoming Saturday. In the interim, Let's go to a quick groove. This is a new, actually I have two new cuts, one by Public Enemy and one by His Royal Badness. Let's go with Public Enemy. This is Everything, Everything by Public Enemy. We'll be back. Let's groove, folks. We'll be right back. Let's get to it.
I got no fancy car, never was no superstar. Got no Grammy trophy, got no problem if y'all approach me. Never had no Rolling Stone cover, never had no top 10 hit my Brussels. Got no TV show, got no Maybach spins or rolls. Got no movie roles, got no platinum or gold. Got no diamond rings, watches, and all of them things. Got no way to plane, what I mean is got no private jet. But I also got no regret, got no swag, what I got no love, something I never had.
Everything, yeah, everything, yeah, everything. We got it all.
We got it all. You know this.
Nothing's changed, still the same.
We got your help,
everything.
I got no yacht. Well, I got no choice but to show y'all what some of us forgot. Never was hot, never was pop, but I never ever stopped that real hip hop. Got no paparazzi, got no company that got me. Walking alone in the hood, so it's easy to spot me, y'all. Got no million follower friends on Twitter, on Facebook, look at my friends. Got no thing for video games, got no shame saying I ain't never playing. Got no hate for things that are great, don't you know I salute. Y'all probably got the same thing. We ain't never talking about no same here now.
Nothing changed, we're the same.
Look at your loved ones. Look at your young ones.
Around.
Love them, talk to them, hug them, love them. Damn right.
Once again, that was Strong Island's greatest, Public Enemy, Everything, Everything. And speaking of everything, that's exactly what we play, minus the minstrel hip-hop, the best of Afro-punk, funk, urban alternative, black rock, progressive hip-hop. We will play the real. The call and number, don't be scared. We've got a few moments remaining still, folks. 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. And, of course, this is the Midweek in Review edition, Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Listen, I forgot to mention something as well. On Saturday, again when we come, when we have our normal week in review edition on Sunday. It's Saturday this time. We're having a gentleman come through who is a hip hop publicist. His name is Sebastian Elkaby. Sebastian Elkaby. And actually, I received an email blast from him, I believe the day before yesterday. And it's a very concise, heartfelt message about his dismay with having been in the industry for more than 20 years and how he really can no longer conduct business with a conscience, that the way things are, he'll explain in depth just how bad things have become with the music, that you just are not allowed. You are just not allowed to play anything of substance, or you can't even promote something of substance in this particular climate. But you know that. That's why you're listening to us. So instead of hearing the captain and myself rant, I'm going to have Mr. Elkaby, Sebastian, I want him to take the reins when he comes through on Saturday, and he will rant in my place because I don't want to constantly be on the same MP3 revolving door. So he's going to come through, Sebastian Elkaby. All right, folks, getting back into the fold. I'll bring the captain in a moment. The captain is out in the field. Even away, still powerful words. So he will still kick it, as will I. Next up, I want to talk. Well, listen, I try to avoid it. I just mentioned about how bad his music thing is. Can't avoid it. Another minstrel. A minstrel from 20 years ago. Or actually, the captain and myself, we spoke about this. This particular minstrel wasn't that bad. Well, he's as bad as any minstrel today. But considering the landscape that he was in, he was one of a few minstrels when the landscape was pretty expansive, circa 1988 to, let's say, 1992. I'm talking about Mr. Luther Campbell from Two Live Crew in Florida. He had some rather disparaging words to say about director Spike Lee. Now, I'm a Spike Lee stan. I mentioned that before. I'm a Spike Lee stan. I was a frequent visitor, patronizer of his Spike Lee joint, which was a fan store or memorabilia store in downtown Brooklyn. And it was around for a number of years, and unfortunately, it closed shop, I believe, around 97. I think it was from 90 to 97 it was actually around. And it was a great store, and I mentioned this before on air, that I thought that his store was instrumental, was the seed that was planted to allow for other businesses to come through to make downtown Brooklyn, specifically the Clinton Hill section of Brooklyn, the Fort Greene section of Brooklyn. Now these are pricey areas. You know, actually Red Hook, these are once blighted, now they are pricey. And I dare I say, Spike Lee and others, I believe De Niro, Robert De Niro, a famed actor, he bought property down there. So once Hollywood touches something or business touches something in a depressed area, shouting out Magic Johnson Studios in Harlem, things start to look up. Anyway, it appears that Mr. Campbell has taken umbrage with Mr. Lee for his take on Django. Now, I took umbrage with Mr. Lee on his take on Django because he came off like a hater, and an uninformed critic. I would have had more respect for him if he was able to break down the problems he had with Django Unchained again, folks. If he saw the damn thing, he didn't see it, he didn't want to see it, he took his personal beef with Django's director, Quentin Tarantino, and just segued those difficulties going back to Jackie Brown and all the other movies and Pulp Fiction, which were 20 years ago. He brought it to Django without seeing the film. So it comes off a bit ignorant. But I would not refer to Mr. Lee after his, you know, considering his body of work and what he has done and what he is, and he himself calling out who he considers to be Uncle Tom's. And I don't think he's even used that word, really. He's used the term minstrel. But because he disagreed with this one film, even though I don't agree with his stance on it, Now, Django Unchained, in the eyes of some folks, has become a litmus test for blackness. And even we can't even agree on Django Unchained. But in Luther Campbell's eyes, he called, let me go to the exact quote here. He says, Spike Lee is a conniving and scheming Uncle Tom because of his Django comments. So let me bring the captain back on this. Let's wax about this. Captain, what's up with Luther Campbell?
Well, first I must say, Spike Lee is a beast of a director. Okay, let's understand that. He's a beast. And we really can't take anything away from Spike Lee. He's not the hot man right now, but he has done it already. He is a beast. He is a juggernaut of a director. That's what he is. He has done some very great projects in his time. But now, referring to him as Uncle Tom, I would say is not the correct term. You might say that he could be a hater. That would be more, you know, correct in my opinion. Because, as you just said, Spike Lee didn't see the movie. You know, he didn't see the movie. So you're not informed. You don't know what's going on. You know? You really don't know what's going on. You didn't see the movie. That's number one. That's number one right there. And also, too, you know, the term Uncle Tom, you know, is really taken out of context. A lot of people really don't know the history of that word. And that's something I would like you, the great Sir Afro Nerd, to elaborate a little bit further on to the public. Because that's what we do here on Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. So, but just before I pass it over to you, I just have to say one more time, I don't agree with Luther Campbell's synopsis pertaining to Spike Lee being an Uncle Tom. I think that's a little bit incorrect. But I do agree that Spike Lee's a hater right now. Sometimes Spike Lee wants to own blackness. And I think a lot of these individuals, just as the great Sergio Mims said, you know, if a black person would have done Django Unchained, they would just feel a bit better. So, you know, if you could just elaborate, Sir Apple Nerd, a little bit more on that Uncle Tom terminology. I think the listening audience would highly appreciate that. Back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Yeah, thank you for that, Captain. Briefly, this is what the deal is. Uncle Tom, the term Uncle Tom, has been disparaged for I don't know how long. I guess since it's been used as a colloquial term, it's been used as a way of deriding someone, specifically a person of color. I mean, it has been used, you know, beyond someone who's just black, but it has been, for the most part, it is a black derogatory term. Now, the reality is that the way Uncle Tom is used as a derogatory term, as if it's really, as we all know, essentially, that it's meant to be someone who is someone who's a backstabber to the race. Someone who was a backstabber to the race. Now, the reality is Uncle Tom is obviously from the character within Harriet Beecher Stowe's novelization, Uncle Tom's Cabin, from the 1850s. So we have an 1850s novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin. The titular character is Uncle Tom. The reality is that character, with anyone who has read that book, the character was meant to, for the time period, was meant to be a buffer for minstrels. Let me repeat that. I've said this before. We are dealing with a neo minstrel or neo coon movement in 2013, right? Neo, new jack version of it. But minstrelsy dates back to the 1800s, early 1800s, 1830, 1840. At the height of the minstrel movement, the original minstrel movement in the 1800s, Ms. Stowe, Harriet Beecher Stowe, who was an abolitionist, She came out with this book, which was controversial at the time, because it was very anti-slavery and very respectful of the black image for that time period. So Uncle Tom in the book was someone who actually, now get this, folks, this is how things get maligned and things get twisted around. He actually was the martyr in this story. He was martyred because he did not, mind you, listen closely, he did not give up slaves that had, in the storyline, slaves that had escaped. He was asked to give up the whereabouts of escaped slaves, and he did not give them up. For his loyalty, he was killed. He was beaten to death by his master. So Uncle Tom, as a character in Uncle Tom's Cabin, was no Uncle Tom. So we always use the term, you're Uncle Tom. We're so off the rails, Captain, that we really don't even use the term correctly. Uncle Tom is still suffering as a character, if you want to be really, you know, knowledgeable about this. The character is still suffering as this martyr, you know, in the modern day, when the character was actually noble, heroic, and sacrificed for his people. There were two escaped slaves, two females, if I remember correctly, two female slaves that escaped in this book. He did not give them up, and he was beaten to death. That is the story of Uncle Tom. But we consistently call people who do give people up, allegedly, Uncle Toms in the incorrect way. And Uncle Tom as a character did not do what we say Uncle Toms do. So we're all messed up, Captain. That is the story of Uncle Tom. Get the book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, and you will learn Uncle Tom is no Uncle Tom. That's the irony of life. It's the same thing as people. I'm talking to you folks. I'm going to say this. You Negroes, lower tier, mystical Negroes. And I'm very much into qualifying and quantifying, folks. You know I'm not afraid to do that. Why am I going there right now? Folks I've heard on other shows, Captain, that will spout out against Django or for Django and say the Django. Yeah, I saw the Django, and I didn't like it. Oh, I really like that the Django. You should be ostracized immediately and removed from the room. If you saw a movie where the character clearly says in the movie and in the trailer, folks, it's Django, the D is silent. That's the hook of the movie. And yet I hear, to be tribal, my people, because I go in and out of this. The Django. I saw the Django. What the hell? Captain, your thoughts. Then we're going to move to the next topic.
Well, there's really nothing more to add to that. You tied it up beautifully. You understand? That was the icing and the whole cake. They just have to slice and dice and eat it up now. There's nothing more to add on that. We can move right on. Beautifully said.
Well, you know what? There is an appetizer, actually. when you think about Luther Campbell himself, Luther Campbell, you could call him, I guess, some kind of business person. But he toils in the flesh trade. All these strip clubs in his region, the Two Live Crew Act had a very, you can look this up online, had a very, very pornographic, risque act where all kinds of Madden, I can't even mention. Matter of fact, it makes Howard Stern look like a saint, a piker, compared to what this man did with women of color on stage. And the only reason why his minstrelsy is a tad bit less is because at the height of his career, there was Public Enemy, there was X-Clan, There was MC Light. There was LL Cool J, Big Daddy Kane. There were a whole Tribe Called Quest, and on and on and on. There were a plethora of correct acts, let's put it that way, acts that actually had talent. So he was one of two or three at the most that were minstrels. There was Beyond Balance at that point. But today, he should make a comeback, I guess, because he would fit right in. He would fit right in. Maybe he's the granddaddy of this minstrelsy. But he himself is the chief minstrel trying to call out Spike Lee, who made a movie, Captain, against minstrelsy called Bamboozle. So you're literally talking about the man who wrote the book on minstrelsy, that there is against minstrelsy and Bamboozle. And now he's being called an Uncle Tom because he simply doesn't like Django. Although I think he's wrong on how he's perceiving because he didn't see it. But you can't call a man an Uncle Tom over one movie. I'm sorry. Anyway, folks, let's go to a quick groove. When we get back, more discourse. Simple enough. This is from His Royal Badness. I'm always playing Prince here. This is the latest leaked on the internet. Same page, different book. Same page, different book, folks. Let's groove. His Royal Badness, Prince.
Check it, 1, 2.
I hit the train. Plane hit St. Paul. Had no idea.
No.
Had sleep in a big star.
Dirty.
Once I got home. Covered me, nothing like the disappointment you would never see. So much more in common.
folks. Once again, same page, different book. Prince is Royal Badness. Unfortunately, folks, we have time constraints, and we already started out late. You know I like to stay on groove. But it's unfortunate. I will say briefly, in the car today, driving around, I actually tried. I tried, folks. I really did. Trust me on this. I try to listen to conventional radio. I can't. I can listen to political stuff. And, of course, I have SiriusXM. But listening to regular terrestrial radio and listening to urban radio especially, I don't see how you folks are surviving. I don't know how you're doing it because the music is terrible. It's terrible. It's oral defecation. Oral defecation. A-U-R-A-L, by the way. The music, the lyrics, the quality. I mean, come on, folks. Listen, I have plenty of music. This music I haven't even played for you folks yet that will blow your mind. Jimi Hendrix has a new record out, believe it or not, in After Death. Jimi Hendrix, of course, his estate's still releasing new music, and it's called Somewhere. Matter of fact, I'll probably play it as our outro. But, I mean, even if you don't want to go to the classics, there's new stuff every day that I'm listening to, but how folks are listening to this stuff that's disrespecting you, that's just not that good, 2 Chainz and all that kind of stuff, wow. Briefly, I do want to mention we do have a quick Blue Area segment. Of course, those who are in the know, Blue Area is a segment of our show where we don't want to always just talk about the negative. We do have to talk about people that do get things right, that do things right. So it starts from a Marvel, because this is the Afternoon Show, Marvel Comics, a section of the moon in Marvel Comics lore where those who live on this section of the moon can actually breathe air. So this is our way of breathing air on our section of the moon, the Blue Area. And there's 2 quick things. One, we have to pay respects, patronage, homage to a young lady by the name of Kyla McMullen. Kyla McMullen. She is the first PhD candidate in computer science from the University of Michigan, first black female computer science PhD from the University of Michigan. So she is to be applauded. Trust me. I might actually try to reach out to this young woman. She's 29 years of age, and this is what we have to be promoting, folks. We have to be promoting. And I guess the only thing is that she should not be the singular black female from this university getting a degree, a PhD in computer science. But, you know, I'm almost leery of acknowledging first, but because we're going to be 200 years from now still talking about black first. But in this case, you have to give it up. And also, what was the other thing? There's one more thing I wanted to mention as well. Oh, yeah. I came across this quick article. I don't think we have enough time to play the clip, but it was a man what's his name? I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he's 103 years old. Man of color, Ethiopian American, who simply, he believes that his longevity has a lot to do with his movement, that he still has his cognition. At 103, folks, he's still sharp, has no cane, has his mind, and walks the mall, his local mall, for 2 hours. Doesn't walk as fast as perhaps myself or you or the captain, but he does walk the mall. He's a retired pharmacist, and I think his name is Mekey, M-E-K-E-Y, and he's beloved in the mall. Everyone knows who he is, and he's self-taught in 10 languages, so that goes to cognition, keeping your mind fresh, puzzles, reading. You know, he's an Afro nerd by way of Ethiopia. And it doesn't surprise me that he's 103 years old. And then he says, you have to be moving. To the young folks, no couch potatoes here. You have to walk, move. Even in the sitting position, you should be moving. So my hats go out to this gentleman who is 103 years old. Captain, any thoughts before we move on out? We always have Saturday, folks. Remember, Saturday.
Did you mention the fact that he knows 10 languages also, that he taught himself?
I did mention that.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right. So we do it once again this Saturday at 7 p.m.
Definitely, folks. Listen, our apologies go out to our stalwart listenership. Unfortunately, the system blew up minutes before we went on air. Anyway, I mentioned Jimi. Jimi Hendrix. This is Somewhere. Somewhere. We'll be back on Saturday, folks. Saturday with Mr. Elkaby. It's been real. Let's groove.
On three.
Touching a promised land, I hear pleas and prayers, and a desperate whisper saying, "Oh Lord, please give us a helping hand." Yeah, frustrated soul, the city's burning, and on across the water there I see a weapons barking out to sting it there. And up in the clouds I can imagine UFOs chuckling themselves, laughing they sing. Those people so uptight, they sure know how to make some mess. Hey! Brothers, help me, and don't worry about looking at the score.